Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, it's midnight, and it's my birthday today, and I thought I'd do something fun. I have a couple funny things to say before I get into the main topic of Pretty Little Liars. Today, I write a weekly column for the local paper, and I usually get to pick my own topic. I've actually done two season reviews of Pretty Little Liars, and that was pretty fun because I got a lot more Twitter followers and exposure of my column through that. Well, today my boss, well, actually 2 days ago, my boss, the editor, asked me to do a topic on microbreweries, which is becoming a popular thing in the upper Midwest and also across the nation. They're basically mom-and-pop places that can range from small to mid-range, and they brew their own microbrews. There's a variety of barley, hops, yeast, and other fruit and products that go into the making. I'm really very uneducated about it, and I pretty much visited two breweries today, and I took two sips of Irish Red beer, and that's about all I could do because I was on a deadline. And then this other guy at my job is going to finish the article for me because I haven't drank since 1983, and I'm really not the right man for the job or the right woman. So I just thought that was rather humorous that my boss assigned me to that when I'm totally, totally clueless. Okay, so anyways, you know, I got a little miffed at ABC because, you know, I don't like marketing strategies of ABC or other major corporate outlets. Like 90% of what you want could be on Netflix or Hulu. But I also am one of the old school people that still pay for cable because I actually like sitting in front of my television at night. I don't always want to stare at a computer screen and watch TV. Well, I had to order 5 episodes of season 6 because ABC Family only has season 1, episode 1, 9, 10, 11, and 12 on their website, and they recently added episode 2. So I bought 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and I'm about to buy number 7. Now, I have to tell the listening audience that Amazon is way, by far, the easiest route to go to buy extra episodes. It's only $1.99 an episode. If you try going through another website, I think one is called TVsite.com, I guarantee you that you will download viruses and a bunch of add-on apps and fuck up your browser system. And just please go to Amazon.com under video and rentals and just buy it for $1.99. It's going to save you a lot of malware and computer glitches. Now that we've covered that, I want to talk about season 6. So Allison is back in town, and, you know, one thing, you know, I noticed about this whole thing is that, you know, the audience is really not adjusted to Allison being really a live person on the show. You know, like, she was only a person who was exposed through flashbacks. When people imagined her. And, you know, there's just a lot to be said about it. You know, she was a mean person. She wasn't that appealing. And I disagree that she's the fairest of them all. I don't think, even though she has a certain style and charisma, I definitely don't think she's the prettiest little liar. And, sometimes I get upset because I like a lot of the nuances of this show, but I don't like how every episode, ever since around halfway through season 3, there's almost like a major event in every single episode, either someone dies, there's an explosion, someone gets hurt. I don't know. It just seems kind of creepy to me. You know what I mean? So I think I'm going to play the sneak peek quick while I drop more information. Here we go.
Sydney may be a liar, but she's a damn good swimmer. I like having her on the team. She still is on the team. That way we can keep an eye on her. Try the field. Come back in the locker room. Feels good. Seems like the only place I see is at practice.
I know. It's
complicated. Paige, we need to talk. Maybe tonight?
I got something tonight, but yeah, we should talk.
Okay, that was a clip from episode 11 for PLL. Now, I want to say, you know, don't you think it's a little odd that two people who joined the swim team ended up being part of the A team? Like, one was Shauna, who ended up trying to kill Ezra and almost the girls. And now this new Sydney chick. I mean, why do these people come to town and mess things up for people? You know, like just when Emily's trying to mentor her through swimming, and then every time one of the four girls exhibits trust to somebody, they turn out to be a backstabber. I just don't like that. You know, like there's not enough calm, warm, fuzzy moments on the show that you can cherish without some shit happening in the next scene. Sometimes, you know, I don't think it's a warm, fuzzy show in general, but some of the scenes catch me so off guard that I actually found myself screaming in the living room, like when the rat fell out of Paige's locker. Now, Paige is one of those characters that I think is well-meaning, and she's obviously still in love with Emily, but and you can see she's a sincere person, but she's kind of a fence-sitter, you know? Now, the other story that's kind of disturbed me since season three is I got a really bad taste in my mouth for Ezra Fitz, but now he's coming back around and getting on my good side in season five. I realize his research was well-meaning, and he might have some clues or artifacts to help solve the rest of the puzzle, but there's still questions hanging around from season one and two that we still don't have answered. You know, and another problem is characters like Lucas who sit on the sidelines, you know, we don't really know how much evil he's up to. And is he the black loved one who keeps changing apartments, or is it somebody like Jason? Now, I read a couple of critical reviews, and a few TV critics don't think Jason is the one who's capable of all the bad stuff, but who is this person that moves around from apartment to apartment in black gloves carrying dolls? It's obviously not Mona anymore. That would be too obvious, even though she's one of the meanest ones with the worst vengeance. I don't think it would be somebody like Cece, because Cece and Allie were friends, even though Cece was a poor character. I don't know. I've already know that Mona's going to die, but I'll be happy when she does, because even though she adds a lot of darkness to the drama and edginess, I just think that her spirit of vengeance has been too prolonged, and she pretty much chose to be an outsider. She could have been... There was a few moments in season four where she could have been an asset to Allie's friends, and she turned out to be a double dark side again. I would have to say, even though she doesn't have the best qualities as a character. She has good qualities in real life. Hannah, a.k.a. Ashley Benson, is my favorite because I think she has good dead-on line deliveries. Her sense of humor is good and articulate, and when she does play dumb or even when she's trying to play smart like Spencer, she can pull it off. Now, I would have to say I admire Spencer the most, and I kind of like her storyline. You know, the way that she is innovative and always finds different kinds of clues. But the disappointment of her parents and their behavior has kind of put a damper on the Hastings name. And Melissa's been able to duck the radar for 5.5 seasons or 4.5 seasons. I'm halfway through season 5. And she doesn't have a true justification for really being on the show still. I haven't seen her for 3 episodes now. I saw her in episodes 1 and 2 of season 5, but let's put it out there and find out what she's really about. You know, see, the problem with the script line is that these B characters that keep dipping in and out of the plot, it makes it confusing for the audience. And really, what is Mrs. De Laurentiis really about? I mean, she was a bitch to her child, and Allie could pull one over her in a Hollywood second. Allie outsmarted her mother. She overpowered her mother. I believe Allie got her mean streak from her mother. And why did they have to kill off the mother the minute the daughter got back? I'd really like to know if that's a valuable plot line. She could have at least had some nurturing for 24 hours before her mom croaked. Then we find out towards the end of episode 6 in season 5 that Bethany Young did know Mrs. De Laurentiis, and she drew a picture of Mrs. D in the flower bed, but a dragon-like creature hovering over her, and there was a sword in the ground. So I did read something in advance that Mr. Montgomery might be Bethany Young's baby daddy. I don't know, you know, remember how Desperate Housewives started out simple and fun and then it got twisted and too many people died? I feel like they have the same writers on this show. Like, do even the writers know what direction things are going in? I guess the last thing I'm going to analyze on this show is I'm going to analyze the 4 main characters and then Allie. And before I do that, I'm going to say something about the plot, which I've been talking about all night. First of all, if they're going to divide the show into an average of 42 minutes, somebody shouldn't have to die or have a major threat in every episode. Like, build the plot up a little, untangle it. You know, like, Lucas had his little party to show off his non-existent girlfriend, and I kind of like that subplotting stuff rather than things that happen that are violent and large. I mean, how many houses can blow up in a town? How many people can disappear? You know, I don't know. I do think Jenna's always been an interesting character, and now that she's back, she can probably add more dimension to the script. I got real scared when she all of a sudden she was standing in Aria's door. I mean, is there really any possibility on this show for people being genuine with their cardinal enemies? I thought there was a moment of truth there with Aria and her friend. I mean, not her friend, but Jenna. I mean, you have to pity somebody who lost their eyesight, regained it, and lost it again. Now, I like Aria Montgomery. She has a good head on her shoulders, and she's good with her line delivery. I can barely tell that she's acting, and there's something very appealing and unique about her. I think it's her long-term experience working on other movies and her natural confidence, and I think she's right up there with Ashley Benson and her acting skills. I think Emily Fields is a good actress too, but she has too many pregnant pauses and her face is always strained in those stressful scenes. But I do think her line delivery has improved since season 1 and 2. And she's getting more connected with her emotion, and I can tell that the director is giving less direction. I think Spencer Hastings is a natural, likable Nancy Drew type character. And for people like me who have admired Nancy Drew my whole life, I'm naturally attracted to her as a mystery type buff. I like her clothing. I like her, you know, like her checkered skirts and her cool stockings and the way she dresses. And I like how she's athletic and sometimes dresses down. She's probably the closest in personality to me out of people I would admire. Hannah is cool in a sense, you know, because she has her own sense of quirkiness. And sometimes even though things are terrible, like right after that explosion, and like when Allison was about to run away, you know, she just has a way of calming things and not making things seem as bad as they are. Now, Allison does have a sense of vulnerability and also charisma about her, but I still feel like she's a character that I don't really know, that I can't get a pulse on her. She comes from a fragmented family. She doesn't have a strong connection with her brother. She's emotionally dependent on her friends. She has no center of being. She comes off more genuine in the serious scenes, but she still has a lot to battle with enemies like Mona. I don't think the plot should always be driven between the enemies and the friends. I think, you know, these writers have an opportunity to drive the plot towards more better life lessons like bullying and stuff, things that kids face in high school, and they're missing some major opportunities by the way that they're pushing the plot always towards murder and deception. Like even the fact of, couldn't that intruder who came in the house and pulled that yellow scarf around Allison's neck, I mean, did it really have to go that far? Couldn't he have just been dodging in the window? That aspect of the show I'm tired of. Well, I'm about to watch episode 7. So sometime later in the week, I'll update and give you guys what I think is better advice about the show and continuous advice. Plus, we have a lot of new actors filtering in, like Sydney, and I should be discussing those, too. I thought she was kind of an odd choice, too. I liked Maya better, and I thought Shauna was pretty cool, too. She turned out to be a bad person. Well, you can find my television review is at www.duluthreader.com, DuluthReader.com. Click on home and then click on the red undercurrent under Jane Hoffman and you'll see all my articles. I appreciate the support. My other website is twitter.com/gravitypolitique, GravityPolitik. And my blog is janessaconquers.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it very much, and I love the show.